On show 464, Mercedes start making the EQC, Audi's vegan package, and an update to Tesla's Navigate on autopilot. Those stories and many more coming up on today's podcast. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. In fact, wherever you are in the world, welcome to EV News Daily. Start of a brand new week and a national holiday here in the UK. Well, a bank holiday, but off work either way. Monday, 6th of May today. My name is Martin Lee. It might be a holiday day in the UK, but I've still gone through every EV story that I can find here for you to save you time and so that you know what's going on in the world of EVs today in one little 20-minute podcast. Well, thank you to myev.com for helping make this show. It is the world's first marketplace, all about buying and selling and learning about electric vehicles along the way as well. I have a funny feeling over the next few months, certainly the next few years, as well as more and more cars are going on the used car market, you're going to want a quick and easy way to get hold of an EV or to sell yours, and that's when you'll be typing in myev.com. Congratulations to Mercedes-Benz. They've just started making their EV, the EQC. Very happy for the team there at Mercedes-Benz. The first one just rolled off the production line at their plant in Bremen. Mercedes-Benz EQC entered production in Germany, where it's assembled along with the conventional C-Class saloon and the estate, as well as the GLC and the GLC Coupe. Later this year, production's going to be launched in China too, in partnership with BAIC, says InsideEVs.com today. Well, Mercedes-Benz joins the Tesla Model X, the Audi e-tron, and of course the Jaguar I-Pace at the very high end of the SUV market. Prices in Germany, where it's made, that does include the VAT, the value added tax already, 19% in Germany, it's 20% here. It starts from €71,281. The launch edition, which has been named the 1886 edition, going back to the very first automobile, almost €85,000. The pack inside it is not the biggest one. If you're after bragging rights, you're not going to win that one. 80 kilowatt hours, but I've read some very good things. Had a little bit of knowledge sort of passed on to me by a couple of people in the know, actually, to say, look, the EQC is going to be a very efficient car in terms of the engineers. Very, very happy with how that has worked itself out. Deutsche Automotive at Commence site, which is near Dresden, are the ones making the packs from LG Chem Cells. 80 kilowatt hour pack is not the biggest, but they do a lot with it. And the with any weirdness, any strange thing about the press release that Mercedes-Benz put out today, they've quoted the old NEDC way of measuring the range, which is not doesn't even begin to be accurate in terms of real world. So the numbers are quite large, and I think that's weird. They should be quoting it on WLTP. The EPA range is probably the most accurate in the US, but the new way of measuring range here in Europe, WLTP, is standard. They should be quoting that. They're still quoting the really old. I don't think you're allowed to do that anymore. Anyway, I'm no expert. So I reckon we can't talk about range yet. If the EQC comes in between 220 and 250, I think they're on to a winner. Any less, we know the Audi e-tron is 204, 205 miles on the EPA in the US. That's a little on the low side. Anything for the EQC, 220 to 240, 250 is going to be a very respectable mileage because it's not a cheap car. Right, moving on to Audi. We mentioned the e-tron, the first ever all-electric SUV from Audi. My goodness, is it heavy? No, it's not the most efficient car you're going to buy, but very luxurious. Subtle and silent, they say, for the car. The e-tron, though, didn't turn out to be a quirky compliance car. It's turned out to be a very lovely mainstream SUV. I say mainstream in terms of conventional, not mainstream in that we're all going to be buying one because they're still very expensive. It looking very tastefully designed, says Manoli for Motor1.com today. No denying that buyers for premium SUVs also might be similar to the crowd that cares about the environment. An environmental impact, if you're buying an electric SUV, chances are that's on your mind. Now, those kind of people also interested in sustainability, recycling, upcycling, and, yes, not having your entire car covered in leather. Some people don't want that. So Audi and with the e-tron are working on a vegan package. I don't think it'll be called the vegan package, but it'll be called something that is marketing friendly. And that's great news as well. Well done to the team at VW and Audi for doing that. So Tesla's Navigate on Autopilot's had another update, and the feature just keeps improving. A substantial update this time, though. It's time to see exactly how it reacts. A new Tesla owner and a YouTuber called Scott Kubo, K-U-B-O, Kubo, Kubo. Well, Scott does a great job in this new video. He narrates along as well. A couple of bits are fast-forwarded because they're just sort of some basic shots of the car driving in a reasonably straight line. The best bit is, 5-6 minutes long, he doesn't ramble on, highly recommend you watch it, says Stephen Loveday for InsideEVs.com. Scott and his Tesla Model 3 show how it changes lanes, does about 3 or 4 lane changes left from the inside lane all the way to the HOV lane without any driver confirmation at all. A couple of times it hesitates, goes to move back into the lane it was coming from, double checks, it's free, and does complete the manoeuvre, not without any worrying hesitation. I think the old version of Autopilot would have moved you back into the original lane, actually, and given up on the manoeuvre. There's some debris on the road. Someone's lost a bumper, or you might call a fender. Someone's lost the whole thing. It's huge, actually. How does Autopilot, Navigate on Autopilot, cope with that? Well, we don't get to find out because Scott sees it coming up, disengages the system, and steers. Actually, I don't know what speed he's doing. I should look, because you can see it on the dash. And steers around the debris. That's not yet at a stage, I don't think, where Autopilot would have recognised stationary debris. It was also underneath a bridge. So they were going under they're on the highway, and they would have gone under either a footbridge or, anyway, there was a shadow on the road, and the bumper was, it looked like a whole, I'm going to have a rear bumper had fallen off a car, and it was in towards the left of the lane, but enough for you to run over. It would have been a real mess. And so very hard, I think, for Autopilot to catch things like that. Scott was on the ball, though, and steered around it. I'll put a link to Inside EVs in the show notes. One of my favourite people to follow on Twitter is Matthias Schmitz, who is at @auto_schmidt, S-C-H-M-I-D-T, on Twitter. Pure electric new car registrations in Western Europe just surpassed 100,000 units in the first 4 months of the year. Consequentially, more new, pure, electric vehicles took to the streets during the first third of the year, this year, 2019, than the entire year in 2016. The growth is just amazing. I'll pop a link to his Twitter in the show notes. Well, it's been exactly a year since Electrify America turned on the power at their very first DC fast charger on the 2nd of May 2018. Now, since then, the EV charging network, which was born out of the You've Been Very Naughty Dieselgate Volkswagen money, they've been very busy. In addition to the rollout of their network of high-speed DC fast charging stations, Electrify America had more news to announce, so they invited a few media outlets to their headquarters in Reston, Virginia, for a technology workshop, says Tom Maloney, who made the trip for InsideEVs.com. Electrify America's president and CEO Giovanni Palazzo spoke first, announced they have just commissioned their 161st site. Palazzo said they're targeting to have 484 sites open by the end of the year. The pace of development is huge at Electrify America. Those sites are going to include over 2,000 high-speed DC fast charging stations and 2,800 level 2 chargers. The sites are an average of 70 miles apart, actually, have a maximum distance between them of 120 miles. The CEO also reaffirmed that Electrify America will indeed begin to employ Plug and Charge. The Plug and Charge technology is going to be employed by Electrify America before the end of the year. Plug and Charge is a new global standard, an ISO standard, which identifies the car when you plug it in. It eliminates the need for any of this waving your contactless payment card, ordering an RFID card from different networks and having them all in your glove box. You just plug your car in and it activates the charging session. Then you get billed at the end of the month because you've previously registered with Plug and Charge, and you've put your card details in. Palazzo said a multitude of auto manufacturers are already working on getting their existing EVs ready to utilize the new technology. In addition to the new lower per minute rate and the new membership plans, Electrify America is doing something that I haven't heard of before. So if you have, let me know who else does this. They're going to start charging you based on your maximum charge rate of your car. There are three different levels, and each different level will affect how much you pay by the minute. Because obviously, if you are paying by the minute, but your car charges slowly, and if you're paying by the minute and your car charges fast, if you have a fast charging car, you're getting a good deal. So they're trying to even that out a little bit. So if your car charges between 0 and 75 kilowatt speed, you pay one rate. Between 76 and 125, you pay another rate. And anything from 126 to 350 kilowatts, you pay the top rate. Because, of course, you can get more juice on in the same time. And that juice has got to be paid for because they're providing it. The exact pricing for those levels hasn't been formally announced. It does seem to be reasonable as a way of establishing parity in your pricing structure. I'll pop a link to Inside EVs in the show notes for you. Congratulations to VW Group, who are getting the ID on sale very, very soon. Zwickau will begin producing the ID. And there was a YouTube video we saw a couple of days ago. And I must check if it's been taken off now. It looked like a leak, and it was an official video by VW. And at the end of it, in big letters, it called it ID3, the letter ID and the numeral 3, not THREE. So maybe the car's going to be called ID3. Maybe the video is fake, or to put us off the scent. Maybe it's called the ID1 or the ID Neo, or maybe it will be called the ID3. It's going to be on sale very soon, at least in Europe. And the plant in Saxony is one of the first sites to provide comprehensive training for VW employees. 3,000 workers are completing their training centres program, preparing them for new production requirements and upskilling workers as well, so the people who have been making fossil cars for their entire career and even apprentices are equipped and skilled for a new world of EVs to ensure they are employable, and they're adding to the company, securing their future as well and their family's future, their income. More than 300 apprentices have just gone through the high voltage training, and there's big demand for them all around the company. People are snapping up these people who are now trained within the VW Group to work on high voltage things. But what about batteries? Let's go to China. As the US president pushes for more things to be built in the US, in the USA, instead of in China, the push to build electric vehicles there comes as the rush for batteries persists. Just can't make enough of them. And China holds the lead in lithium supply over the US, writes Zach for InsideEVs.com today. According to Bloomberg, both countries are investing heavily in other countries that are rich in lithium mining. Countries like Argentina, Australia, and Chile, specifically. But China arguably has an edge. It's also been doing mineral collection in its home country. Analysts say it's been doing it for decades since such facilities have been built. And the US produces a little more than 10% of lithium-ion cells in the world. China controls two-thirds of the market. China was by far the leading market for electric cars last year in 2018, and the gap between China and the US is only set to grow as well, says Bloomberg. And finally, the UK Research and Innovation, which is a catchy name for an organisation which has got some great ideas, has begun a study to determine if people with rooftop solar on their homes, their garages, their outbuildings, they are technically classed as micro-generators. Could they all be pooled to create a peer-to-peer energy market? So when I say peer-to-peer, I mean you and your neighbours working together, maybe in a street-level energy market. The research is funded by UKRI's Engineering and Physical Sciences Council, says Clean Technica. Entitled the Household Supplier Energy Market Project, also very catchy, the focus is on creating a democratized energy market that works peer-to-peer. Well, let me explain why that's important and interesting. Currently, if you have solar at home, you can use the electricity you make. But if you're making a lot of electricity on a sunny day, or maybe you're just not using much, or you're out, households sell it back, and in some cases have to give it back to the grid. Where that goes, well, it just goes back into your street. So yes, your neighbours are using that electricity, but it's going back into the grid. In a peer-to-peer energy market, any two individuals, any two households can do a deal to directly buy and sell from each other. Clearly, technology is needed to make that frictionless, because you don't want to be calling your neighbour and going, I'll sell you some. I'll sell you some at this price. That's not going to work. But there has to be an automated system that may be undercuts the national market by a few pennies. So your neighbour's getting a good deal. If you're overproducing, your neighbour gets cheaper electricity, you get to make some money. And it won't involve the utility companies will never know. Any third parties will never know. This is an amazing idea. Just think when we all have solar, just think when we all have electric cars. And that's not a long way away, by the way. There's all these little markets cropping up. It's a good business to be in. Hey, let's move on to our question of the week this week. Thanks to myev.com. They said it's our question of the week. Keep your comments coming in. It's been a, I would say not contentious, but interesting one. Should EVs celebrate or hide their high technology? Should EVs just be just another normal car? When someone who isn't techie, like you and I, they just get in the car and drive it. Oh, what's this? This is an electric one. Oh, okay, right. Oh, it doesn't matter. You know, electric, whatever. That's fine. Or should electric cars make a big deal about how tech forward they are and really shove it in your face, like a massive screen in the Tesla Model 3 and then nothing else, right? So which way round should it be, or a combination of both? Send me your thoughts. You can email me hello@evnewsdaily.com. Leave a comment on Facebook and YouTube as well. Time for the endy bit. Well, there are 212 patrons of the show. Love you. Thank you so much. Patreon is a website where you can support creators directly. patreon.com/evnewsdaily. Thank you very much to Phil Roberts from Electric Future, our premium partner, and Brad Crosby as well. Thank you both so much, and everyone else who supports. There are 463 previous episodes of this podcast online, and always will be, thanks to Patreon. You can get brand new ones if you subscribe, which means you have got to think about downloading it. Like, I know you're busy. So subscribe on YouTube, subscribe on your podcast app, iTunes, Google, Spotify, whatever. Just means that you get it first and free and automatically every day. And if in return you can leave a little review, that would be amazing. Say hi on the socials in the meantime by searching EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.